You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Vaping policy has become a hot topic, with New Zealand set to introduce restrictions on traditional tobacco products. The government yesterday announced it would not be making vaping prescription only this parliamentary term. Overseas, some countries have already banned flavored vapes outright. Callie Burrows has been researching the health effects of vaping and its effects on society from her post at the Auckland Bioengineering Institute. I started off my interview with Callie by asking if politicians were beating around the bush.
Yeah, I guess I saw this coming. There would be a lot involved in terms of making it prescription only, but I do think there are other measures that they could be taking right now in the same way that Australia are.
What sort of measures are those?
So, well, the big thing that Australia are doing is that they are banning the importation of non-prescription vaping products. So these are ones that contain nicotine, but also ones that don't have nicotine. But other things that they're doing, they're restricting flavorings, colors, and the ingredients that you can put in e-liquids. They are requiring specific packaging to really make it look like a pharmaceutical product. And they're reducing the amount of nicotine that you can put in the e-liquids. And a big one that I think we could be doing is that they are banning single-use disposable vapes. I mean, there's, you know, those are something that we don't really need. They're cheap. They're bad for the environment as well.
So sort of like following the footsteps that we've done with plain packaging for cigarettes and also planning to lower the nicotine content, those steps could be followed for vaping without making them prescription only necessarily.
Yeah, and it does sound like we have some of those plans in New Zealand, so they are planning to reduce the nicotine concentration for nicotine salt products. I think they're lowering that down to from 50 down to 35, I think, off the top of my head, and they are changing the requirements around packaging. But I still think, you know, one of the things is we have such a big range of flavors available, and in my opinion, we don't need all of those flavors to support smokers to transition onto vaping. So, you know, one thing that could be done is really vastly reducing those the range of flavorings out there, but also, as I said, sort of banning single-use vape products.
Some people have argued that because of the fact that we're reducing tobacco strength and doing a whole big thing on traditional cigarettes, that vaping should be as accessible as possible in the interim. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I did see that from the news story. So I do think it's true that there is a real balance between ensuring that we can use vaping to for people to quit smoking, but there's also huge harm and increased nicotine use in those younger generations. So I agree, it's a real balance. But I do think, like I just said, maybe there needs to be more sort of psychological studies, but people quitting smoking, you know, they don't necessarily need all these different flavorings like gummy bear and candy floss. I think even with a limited range of flavorings, sure, it needs to be accessible, but I think it's too accessible at the moment. We need to kind of reach somewhere that's kind of in that middle ground between having it as widely available as it is now and, you know, maybe not banning it. You know, it does need to be available at the moment for that transitioning for smokers. But I think we can do more for tightening things up.
Pulling back a bit, and I think this has been a subject of your study for some time, does vaping have any negative effects on the human body?
Yes, definitely. But I think that the big problem is that no one knows the long-term health effects yet. If you think about smoking, someone who might have started smoking when they were 20 years old and likely not going to see harms from smoking until they're 50 or older. So I think we may see a similar thing with vaping, so they'll need to be around a long time. But a lot of the studies, including our studies, are showing that there are short-term changes in how the body is working. And these changes, things like inflammation, your body's normal response to something foreign coming into it, or changes in blood flow and blood pressure, we are already seeing these things. And these are things that indicate that there will be changes in the body that will lead on to negative health effects in the long term.
Were you disappointed that we haven't followed in Australia's footsteps?
Kind of. I think, I mean, it's a very political subject. I think Australia have got some of the strictest measures, although there are some countries in the world that completely ban vaping, countries like Singapore and Brazil. So, you know, I think we are possibly one of the countries where it is the most freely available. So even in America at the moment, you know, on a state-by-state basis, they are really tightening up and sort of banning all flavours aside from that tobacco and menthol flavours. So I do think that we, you know, there's varying scales. I think maybe we don't need to be as harsh as Australia right now, but we definitely need to be moving towards what they're doing and have a plan to really, you know, phase them out eventually over time in the same way that we're planning to do with cigarette and traditional tobacco products.
That was Kelly Burrows of the Auckland Bioengineering Institute on vaping policy in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.